Morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show rolls on at 9:17 on this May 28th, and it's a Wednesday, and you know what that means. That means Laura Sievert is here. Yippee-yay. Cow Patty.
What?
You've never heard of Yippee-yay, Cow Patty?
No. Oh, well. Doesn't sound friendly, actually.
Well.
I don't want to step in no cow patties.
Then be careful.
Be careful.
And go yippee-yay.
I'm more in danger of dog patties around my house, but...
Okay, well, let's talk, because you've got a big fundraising event coming up this Friday night at the Ratskeller in their pub garden at 931 York Street. This is going to be an awful lot of fun. Wine tasting and spirit tastings are involved. So tell us all about this, because I'm sure tickets are still available.
There are some tickets available. So it's actually an outdoor beer garden with a kind of a capacity limit. So last I checked, we have about 30 tickets left. Please don't sleep on this event. It's going to be a ton of fun. We've talked about it on air before, but we lost one of our grants from the National Endowment for the Arts due to some of the cuts that are going on. And we want to make sure our summer programs go off exactly the way we hoped for. So we want to still serve our community at a high level. So this is just a little Band-Aid on what we need for this summer. But moreover, it's a great Friday night. We were like, what would we really like to do if we were going to a fundraiser? And I was like, not get too dressed up.
Yeah, dressed up has become the number one thing. I mean, people are just sick and tired of dressing up.
There's a place for it.
You know, it's when everything is dress up that nothing is fun anymore, you know?
Yeah. Wine tasting, a little music, and home by 8 o'clock, that is my kind of fundraiser. So we really designed the fundraiser I wanted to go to.
I trust your taste.
That's right. And then Lane Schottenkirk got involved from Verve Imports. If you've not been to Verve Imports tasting, she brings in wines from all over the world. She's an expert. She's certified by like four different boards on wine. She picked 8 wines for the event. Your $25 ticket gets you 3 tastings, or you can upgrade to the VIP ticket and get a taste of all 8 wines, or if you just have a favorite, just taste the same one 8 times, and you can have 2 glasses of wine.
Say, really, the VIP ticket is quite the bargain, because if you get 3 for $25 and 8 for $40.
Right. Oh, we thought that out, Mary.
Can I get 16 for $50?
You know it, girl. I'll be honest. What the best part about it, really, with the wine tasting is that Lane knows her stuff. She can tell you something about the wine, where it's from, what you should be like trying to taste in each one. And I just love her whole style. So we're doing some light bites, too, where we've got the live music. There's a small auction, a small silent auction. But really, it's just an opportunity to come out and see what Arts Quincy's been up to. And we'd love to have you. We'd love to sell this one out. We got about, like I said, about 31 tickets left when I looked last night before I left work. $25. It's all it takes to help our summer programs go strong. Gotta say, again, appreciation to the Ratskeller, to Lane Schottenkirk, who both donated their time and talent. And then we've got Eric McKay playing. I have not heard him play, but everybody else seems to have, so I need to get out more, I guess. I have little kids. I'm never out in adult spaces. I'm really excited about it myself.
Well, you mentioned this is the perfect fundraiser, because a lot of people don't want to stay up late. If you've got small children, even in the summer, you've adapted them to go to bed at a somewhat reasonable hour.
Right.
They're probably still wanting to start to wind down by 8 or 9 o'clock. So
right.
You'll be home in time to, you know, put the kiddos to bed. And this is great. So $40 for 8 specialty wine tastings, $25 for 3. And, of course, small bites are included in every ticket. But the most important thing is they're going to be drawing for a ring.
Oh, yeah, the
in ring. Partnership with Emerald City Jewelers. So, you know, you're going to walk away. You can walk away with some amethyst bling. And
worth
you can
almost
walk
$3,000.
Yeah, you can walk away feeling very, very good about helping the Arts Quincy. Because, again, federal funding, as we've been talking today, is Older Americans Awareness Day. They're lobbying to keep their funding. Everybody is being pushed. And those who have the biggest base of support, I guess, will be the survivors. It's survivor of the fittest time.
Well, and that's really something, you know, I don't talk a lot about anything like this on the show, but the big problem that I think we're all going to face in the next year is it's not just one sector. It's not just the arts who lost some money. it's arts, it's social services, it's services for our grandparents, it's services for everyone, right? So when we see cuts across the board that way, all nonprofits are going to be putting pressure on our funders, going to be putting pressure on our foundations that we work with, and there's only so much they can do too. So, you know, Arts Quincy is lucky. We have such an awesome group of supporters. We have we have cushion for things that are like this, so we want to make sure our programs happen. But it's going to take everybody pitching in. So why not pitch in by having a little fun at my cool event? That ring you mentioned, by the way, is anybody who donates to Arts Quincy all year long is entered to win the ring from Emerald City Jewelers. They matched our logo with this beautiful amethyst. It's like a 15-carat amethyst. It's a big, honking, beautiful ring, and I love it so much. I cannot win it, but it's worth like $2,700, something like that.
Yeah,
in yellow gold, it's gorgeous. Anybody who makes any donation to us this year has a chance to win that. So thanks to Emerald City Jewelers, and you know, win that amethyst, and then let me borrow it for my occasional fancy occasion.
I think that's good. Have it a shared amethyst among the arts community. What time is this event?
5 to 8.
Okay, 5 to 8, 9th and York at the Rathskeller in the Pub Garden Outdoors, and looking forward to that. And again, every penny of that will go to help Arts Quincy do, especially its children's programming, which unfortunately a lot of their summer activities that you were counting on, the federal dollars to come, they're just not coming through. Another great event that's coming up, and this one is Saturday, so the adults can go out Friday night and support the Arts Council, and then on Saturday, the whole family from 9 to noon can go to the Quincy Public Library for their summer reading program kickoff, which is entitled Level Up. Am I not familiar with what Level Up is? That must be a slang term.
It's a video game term,
Video game term.
Yeah, video
okay.
games, yeah. Yep.
Okay,
believe me,
up.
My kids are already trying to level up on their skills.
Okay, so
yeah.
So again, it's a competition. Read the more books you read, the more prizes and swag you can win.
Yep, Arts Quincy's putting some swag into the swag that you can win. So absolutely do that. We got a good arts pack in that. The Quincy Public Library does such a good job with this program every year, and they sort of grow the kickoff every year too. This year they're going to have games, bounce houses, plural, snacks, special performances from Quincy Community Theater, Jen's Dance Academy, Quincy Axe Company. You know, they really just pulled out all the stops to make this kickoff really fun and to hopefully get your year off to a great start, or your summer off to a great start with reading. My kids do it every year. I have to say, it really encourages them. They have additional prizes they can earn at my house, which is usually, you know, screen time, but you can only be so good of a parent. So I bribe them with equal time for reading and screen time, and that seems to go well. But they have a lot of interests of their own, and these kind of events help them find those interests. Also, you'll get to view the new mobile library. Where my kiddos immediately spotted a book they had to have, so we have already been and enjoyed the mobile library. But highly recommend that too. Great new program.
Saturday, May 31st, this Saturday from 9 to noon at the Quincy Public Library, the Level Up Summer Reading Program kickoff. And again, it's for adults, too.
Oh,
they
yeah.
have adult prizes for those who read. And it's a way, you know, again, we say this all the time, and I think, unfortunately, if you don't understand this, then your children are in jeopardy. Just take our word for it. You have to read over the summer, or they're going to have diminished skills when they get back to school in the fall. Now, you know, again, parents, you definitely want to care about your kids' reading. So get them into this program, because it will motivate them to win these prizes. It will motivate them to get that much done on their bean stack. They can collect all this level up game that they can play, all these different things that they can do. It will be a way to encourage them to read rather than you nagging them to
mm-hmm.
read, because most kids, you know, it used to be in the old days, you got bored. And so you read when you got bored. And now with this device at our fingertips, and we can play endless video games with have no real value. Some of them teach you some hand-eye coordination and can give you some, you know, cognitive skills, but it's not like reading. So they're really pushing the summer reading program. It's free of charge, 9 to noon on this Saturday. And then the Chicago Festival Ballet Cinderella is coming to the Morrison Auditorium at Quincy Junior High on Saturday, June 7th at 7:30 in the evening. And boy, I tell you, high school students and younger get in at no cost, and this will be a chance for kids to see their first ballet, Cinderella, a story they already know and understand.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and lots of local kids are dancing, so they actually auditioned to be a part of this show, and there are kids from Quincy that are dancing, that I think that is super cool. But Cinderella and the when Quincy Civic Music puts on a ballet, it is easily the biggest attendance they get all year long, because it's so rare to bring that sort of thing here, and that's sort of the whole point of Quincy Civic Music, is bringing the world to Quincy. As always, kids are free to this, so 18 and under are always free to Quincy Civic Music events. So this $25 ticket is a chance to take your whole family out for $50. Love that. I mean, really, really affordable way to see the Chicago Festival Ballet. I guarantee if you had to go all the way to Chicago, you'd spend more than that in gas.
Yeah.
Just to get there. I mean, we'll talk about the parking. Last time I was in Chicago, I spent more on parking than food. It was terrible. So definitely come and see it when it's free to park at our Quincy Junior High School in our gorgeous auditorium. We are lucky to have such an amazing theater as the Morrison Theater. You're going to really enjoy this. And you're going to see some familiar faces, some kids around town that are dancing with this as well. You also are entered for free if you are a faculty member at John Wood, QU, Culver Stockton, and if you're a student there too, so you can show your student ID. Don't miss it. It's going to be amazing.
Okay. Lots of great things are going on. And of course, you can always make a contribution. Now more than ever, you're pushing people to become members of Arts Quincy. So all they have to do is go to your website, artsquincy.org, learn all about the great programs that you're doing. And so much of it is economic development. We think of arts sometimes as the cherry on top of the sundae, but it is also the shortcake below the sundae. That's the foundation of our whole economy here. Arts is definitely an economic driver in Quincy.
You know who's a member of Arts Quincy? Mary Griffith.
Yeah.
Believe it. We'd love to have you as a member. I love the $5 a month memberships, the recurring memberships. That's kind of how I like to give anyway. But it's like, buy the arts a cup of coffee, and we'll go out here and do some amazing things in your town. We've got some big stuff coming up, some public art projects that I'm excited about, of course, our kids programs that just keep on getting better and bigger, as well as new ones for seniors and folks out of transition. So we've got new partnerships going, and we're going to keep serving the community the best we can. Your support makes that happen.
Okay, thank you very much. Up next, the Quincy Children's Museum is here. You say, well, they were just here last week. Yes, they were, and they're back because they are busy, and they're doing a lot. And they're also a member of Arts Quincy, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We have an author in our presence, and that always makes me nervous because I'm afraid I'll use bad grammar. But she also deals with emotional feelings and intelligence, so she won't hurt my feelings even if I do something wrong. That's what I'm hoping. I'm speaking, of course, about Tracy Schlepphorst. She is joined by Amy Peters from the Quincy Children's Museum. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
So glad to have you back. Everything looking good in your life?
Yes, everything's great.
Everything's great. Twice in 1 week,
yeah.
You've been a guest on the Mary Griffith Show, and I appreciate it more than ever.
It's my pleasure.
We're going to talk about everything that's going on at the Quincy Children's Museum, but every time I try to push that you can book these birthday parties and book these appearances, Amy says, guess what? Can't do that anymore because we're full up.
We are full. June is so busy with the museum. So we've got a lot going on. We're packing a lot into the summer. We're visiting all over the region and kicking things off with a super fun event next Friday. And that's why Tracy's here with us.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. June 6th, Tales and Trails at John Wood Community College. Tracy, let's introduce yourself to our audience. You have a special series of books. Talk a little bit about what it is you do. Give us the thumbnail sketch of you, please.
Yes, I have the Emotion Belly book series, It started with a book called Eden and Her Happy, which I wrote back in 2014. I kind of thought I was going to do a one and done and, you know, get on the Oprah show and tour worldwide and sell a million books. And I quickly realized that the children's book market is pretty saturated and breaking into that is difficult. So I found a different passion, which honestly has been more fulfilling than any of the things that I dreamed about. And that is helping kids locally, not only with socially emotional learning, but also with literacy and helping to encourage kids to just have a love of reading and writing and wanting to express themselves through creative ways. So that has become more of my passion. But yes, that the first book came out in 2014, and now I have 6 books and a dog named Ripley, which a lot of people know. And I take Ripley into the schools with me to get kids jazzed up about reading and writing. And then also Ripley offers a way of talking about emotions, the nonverbal emotions. So how do dogs express emotions and how they're, you know, tail wagging versus our happy smiley face. So it's really been super fun. I just kind of go along with whatever comes my way. And it's been an adventure for sure.
Wow, Tracy Slephorse, thank you for giving us that information. Emotion belly, I love that because people say I have a gut feeling, or I have a lump in my throat, or I feel lightheaded. These are all physical things that happen to us that often mirror an emotion, which sometimes can be very difficult for us to name that emotion. Is that true?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things. I have emotion belly shirts that I wear when I go into the room. And I talk about how our feelings are on the inside, and then we show them on the outside. But sometimes what we show on the outside doesn't match what we feel on the inside. And then also, like you said, sometimes we don't even understand what it is that we're feeling. But our emotions, the things that are coming into us, kind of dictate what our behaviors are. And so that's a big part of it as well. You know, sometimes we're having a terrible day and we don't even completely understand that. But if we can sit down and put a name to it, like I'm really actually just realized I'm feeling sad because, you know, my friend didn't invite me to the birthday party. And that is what's really like kind of taken over my week for me. And so I think that it's obviously just really helpful for people to be able to name what it is that's going on. There is a book out there and it's called Name It to Tame It. Kind of goes along with the whole emotion belly book thing. Like if you can name it, you can tame it. You can put a word to it. Then you can have some explanation of what it is.
You know, sadness, as you say, is the maybe underlying real emotion, but anger is how they may be showing it, or, you know, grieving process or whatever. So, you know, this is very, very important. And that leads us to the fact that we're going to have this big event on June 6th out at John Wood Community College on the Nature Trail from 5 to 7:30. And your Emotion Belly book is going to be part of that. Plus, you've gone into the classrooms. You've helped children process some of their feelings by expressing themselves in drawing and in writing. And so they're publishing, in a way, their first book, too, right there on the trail, right?
Yes, absolutely. I like to tell them that, you know, if when I go into a classroom, I'm like, how many people like to read books? And most kids' hands go up. How many people like to write? Not everybody's hands go up because, you know, we're very insecure sometimes about expressing ourselves. So I teach them, talk to them about how my best writing comes when it's something that feels important to me. So figure out what it is that's important to you and start your writing process from there. Well, I came up with this idea as we were talking about Discovery Trail, which is behind John Wood Community College. My books have been up on the trail, but we wanted to do something where it was a group effort between me and the kids, so the kids could actually see their work and other kids in the community could see the work of the students. So it's a little bit different, but there's emotion behind everything. I always tell teachers, it's impossible not to teach socially emotional learning because you're talking about feelings in every single subject matter or whatever it is that you're doing. So in a nutshell, what this project was is my other dog, Poppy, gets lost and she chases a squirrel. She gets lost in the woods. And so the kids' first part of the project was to do research what animals live in the woods in Quincy, Illinois. So they had to research raccoons and not just squirrels, but possums, birds, different things. They did all this research. And then we came together and we talked about how those animals could help Poppy get back home. What are their superpowers? Like, for instance, a hummingbird actually has facial recognition and goes back to the same houses and to the same feeders. And so a hummingbird helped Poppy because it knew Poppy from her yard, so recognized her. So, of course, we take some of the facts that we're getting, which is the nonfiction part of the story, and then we're mixing it with a fictional part where the hummingbird actually communicates with Poppy. And then the kids created a story around that, and then the illustrations came together. And it's just been super fun to see how their ideas have developed and the emotion behind those ideas, and then eventually getting Poppy back home with the help of all the animals. It was just really fun to see how it came together.
You know, there's a layer to that as I sit here thinking about it. Poppy is afraid and is lost in the woods, but this is where these other animals live. So they're not afraid, but they recognize how afraid they would be if they were lost. So there is a children probably do it better than adults. We kind of train ourselves out of expressing our emotions and recognizing our emotions. It's like we're all born with that innate ability to do it. And then it's almost trained out of us because we're told not to cry. We're told to, you know, buck up. Don't show anger, especially not in the workplace or anything like that. You know, adults are just, it's tempered out of us, but kids can understand that basic fear. And of course, every little child at some point has gotten lost, even if it's just in the next yard next door, not being able to find their way home, maybe only for 15 or 20 seconds, but they recognize that fear. So as we walk along behind John Wood, it's not up yet.
Nope, it will be making its debut at our event.
So don't come out at 5. Don't expect to see it before 5. They'll still be putting the finishing touchings on the Tales and Trails at the John Wood Nature Trail on Friday night, June 6th, from 5 until 7:30. So we'll be able to see the work of these about third graders, right?
Yes.
Yes, and see.
We've invited them too, so we're going to do a special ribbon cutting at 5:30. I'm hoping that these kiddos will be there. We've got our big scissors ready to go, but we'll let them kind of take the lead that night, whoever can be there and show their families and friends and the community this hard work. Tracy did an excellent job of piecing it all together and showcasing all of the kiddos that were included. So,
well, Tracy, I'm sorry that you weren't Oprah's book club selection. And that you're not
You're
not a billionaire living, you know, on a yacht somewhere, but it's worked out well for the people of Quincy to have you stay as part of our community. So we're happy about that. There's so much more going on that night on the 6th, and there's so much more going on at the Quincy Children's Museum. We'll take a break, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, and when we come back, we'll learn all about it. It's 9:43. We head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what's happening on the farm markets. How do they look today?
Good morning. Corn for July is down 4 at 454. September it's down 1 at 432. Soybeans for July is down 8 at 1053. August is down 7 at 1050. Wheat for July is up 1 at 530. Soybean meal for July is down 1 at 294. Lean hogs for June is up at 99.52. Feeder cattle for August is up at 298.30. Live cattle for June is down at 214.52. Crude oil is up at 61.05. And the Dow Jones is down 81 at 42,325. Thank you.
We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Tracy Schlepphorst is my guest today, along with Amy Peters. And the biggest event they've got coming up for Quincyans is, of course, on Friday, June 6th, out at John Wood Community College Nature Trails from 5 to 7:30, with the unveiling of the third grade book that everybody can go out and see, kind of based on the concept of the emotion belly. What else is happening there? Because we've got so much, Amy. We've got to move on to some of the other things.
I know.
You're all over the place.
I know. So in June, we've got our rural library tour. So every Thursday, we will be traveling to another public library across the region.
On the 5th, you're going to Colchester. Carthage, Hamilton, and Mendon.
Yep. Road
wow.
trip.
Road
so
trip.
So this will be our third summer doing this rural library tour. The first summer, I did one a day, and finding childcare for five kids is no easy task in the summer. And so last year we started consolidating a little bit, and this year I'm like, we're having marathon days. So we'll be traveling all day doing this, but it works out better for us in the end.
Wow.
And pack it all in.
Yeah, on the 12th, Winchester, Griggsville, Pittsfield, and Barrie. And that just keeps going and going and going. Camp Point Public Library on the 19th, Rushville on the 25th, Meredosia, Brown County, Mount Sterling, and Clayton on the 26th. I mean, some of those are obviously not all on the same Thursday. Some of those days are consecutive, but just a lot going on. You'll also be part of German Fest.
Yeah.
Which is exciting because I guess you have a standing invitation. And,
yeah.
You know.
we're coming.
From now on, you know. Just
now
don't worry about paperwork. Just show up and ask Mickey for a check after you get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be part of it too. And that German Fest, you'll be there from 3 to 7 on the Saturday of German Fest.
Yeah.
So much is going on with the Quincy Children's Museum. And you even have... Tracy, there's even a Emotion Belly room that's part of now the Quincy Children's Museum exhibit. So you really have become, I mean, this partnership, I can see the mutual respect you have for each other and how much you care about children and their development. Why is it important, in addition to expanding their mind, to learn about dinosaurs and geology and economics and foreign lands and all this other stuff that's great that you can explore? Why is our emotional exploration so important?
Well, understanding your emotional body is kind of the root of everything that you do. So everything that you're exposed to, you have an emotion about. You feel joy when you see a sunset. You feel sadness when your dog passes away. You know, I mean, every experience in life is attached to your emotional body. So understanding that emotional body and on top of it, understanding how to control and move those hard emotions out as quickly as possible. I mean, I always say that all emotions are there for a reason and they need attention.
Yeah, we don't want to suppress, like grief, you know, your dog passes away, or your goldfish dies, or God help you, you know, your grandma and grandpa, and that's very difficult sometimes to understand. You understand they're not there now, but why aren't they there next week? You know, the permanence of something like that. You definitely don't want to suppress children's emotions. Is that really one of the things, because I've never had kids, so I'm an expert at raising them. Is that one of the things that, you know, I mean, if I had Amy's five, you know, they would get up at the same time every day. They would all be dressed, and we'd have a uniform, kind of like the Von Trapp children. I'd have a little whistle, and I'd call them. But that's part of the problem is we spend a lot of our life, we learn how to repress and keep that down when we shouldn't have to repress. And there's really no, is there a bad emotion? Because people say grief, sadness, anger, those are bad emotions, but those are necessary emotions. There's righteous anger.
Yes, absolutely. And I think maybe the thoughts on that are changing a little bit. It's not so much about you don't want to repress them. You don't want to hold them in because we understand that that's where, you know, like we actually hurt our bodies. Like we have heart disease and diabetes and some of those things come from repressed emotions, come from bodies that are so stressed out with hard things all the time. So now it's more like, yes, you're in this really hard state. Something's happened. We're not going to just stick a happy face sticker on it and tell you to go on with it. We're going to say, go ahead and give yourself a little time to feel that. This is what it feels like. What does it feel like for you? It feels like there's a storm inside of me, like giving kids a way to express it and talk about it. But then also one of the things that has become very important to me, I actually got it from the Inside Out movie. Those Inside Out movies are great ways of explaining emotions to kids. But that joy and sorrow, joy and sadness, happy and sadness, walk hand in hand. So even in your worst moments of your life, it's okay to feel a little bit of happiness about things.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, there's laughter sometimes at the funeral, and don't be embarrassed by that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you know, as sad as you are, you go back and you remember, and that's the best part of it is, you know, I always say, especially this is just how I deal with things, when it comes to anything to do with my parents, You know, because I mean, as a child or whatever, even as a young adult, you always have conflicts or clashes with your parents. And so I always say, now I know that they were right the whole time. And, you know, if only I could have realized it when I was 12. But I always say, I'm just going to choose to remember the good things. I'm not going to dwell on anything that comes in my mind that's a bad thing. Again, it's not really repressing it. It's just saying, okay, I recognize this happened. I recognize we had this disagreement or whatever. But I'm going to dwell on the good things. And the more kids, you know, can talk about expressing their happy emotions, probably the better off they are. The social emotional thing is really catching on. I mean, you guys are so young, but when I was in school, nobody cared about little Mary Kathleen's social emotional development. If I was having a bad day, I was still expected to know that 2 + 2 = 4, and I was still supposed to be able to conjugate a verb. And nobody really cared why I was having a bad day. That's probably not true anymore. I think people now at least understand there may be a reason why this child is not doing this on this day, and they'll be able to complete this task on the next day. So this will be good for parents to come on this trail, too, and see all this. It's good for parents to go down to the Children's Museum, sit back and watch their kids.
Yeah, sit back and watch, but don't be afraid to play, too.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about the Emotion Belly Room at the Children's Museum is it's tucked in a little room, and it's really kind of this quiet, sweet space where they can sit on a little cozy rug and read a book together, or you know, look in the mirrors and make funny faces. We've got things for preschoolers up through 10 to 12 year olds in that room that are specifically designed to help kids identify their emotions and process emotions, but also see those in others. And sometimes that's just as important as, you know, well, why do you think this doll is sad? And, you know, it's funny to see the kids kind of process all of that and comfort one another. The Children's Museum can be very overstimulating at times, as a classroom probably could be, as your van might be sometimes. And so it's nice that we have that space there, that there's quiet music, the lights are a little dimmer, and it's just a nice addition to the museum and what we have to offer there.
I think a lot of adults would get a great deal out of going with their kids to the Children's Museum, observing them and playing with them, and then sitting back and saying, what lesson can I learn?
Yes.
I want to hear about the coin vortex.
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, the Children's Museum, it teaches a lot of different things, but science, technology, engineering, and math are always going to be part of what a Children's Museum does.
Yeah. So I don't know how long Tracy's known me. I feel like we've kind of known of each other. You've probably known me since I was little, right?
I have known you
okay.
since I was little.
So she's known me forever. And so I think early on in this Children's Museum process, Tracy kind of, we connected on a more professional level.
Mm-hmm.
And she shared kind of a story about when her kids were little, traveling and going to places like science centers or children's museums, a memory that she had. So I'll let Tracy share a little bit more about this. And I think it just goes to show that the power of, you know, how partnerships in our community and at our museum, how they work and what they look like. So I'll let Tracy share a little bit more about that.
Yes, as I look at the Children's Museum, and I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, so I was 12 years old when the Magic House started in St. Louis, and I saw how it started as a little house, and then it grew and grew and grew, and then I was a teacher in St. Louis, very close to there, so I got to take students there, and then I got to take my own kids there. So I watched how it grew, so I've watched how Amy is growing the museum, and as it grows, there's little places where I feel like I can plug in, because yes, it is just, it's an innate passion for me to help kids not only with emotions, but also just have a good time and have good experiences and grow their brains in all different ways. I can't really explain it. I was a teacher. I was a school counselor. It's just the path that I've been on. And so as I look at the museum and I look at what would be a good addition. And so that's kind of where the Emotion Belly Room came. And then the vortex is something, it's I don't know if people know exactly what that is, but a lot of museums have them. It's a way that you drop a coin down and you watch the coins go round and the coins can kind of race. Well, that was something, you know, my husband sometimes when the kids were little, I would, you know, drag him along with us. And not that he didn't come unwillingly, but you could find him and the girls at any time if there was a coin vortex and he had a pocket full of change and doing races with pennies and figuring out if pennies go faster or quarters go faster. And then they would drop in. So it's a way that people can enjoy, and then it's also a way to help the museum raise a little extra money because the coins eventually go down into the lockbox, and then that's a little extra change that the museum has in their pocket. So it's a win-win for everyone. And I think
it's a pretty cheap ride for just a penny or a nickel or a dime.
Right, that's right. That's right. So as a small business owner, having an exhibit at the museum gives you great visibility because, again, Amy's growing this thing like crazy and there's so many kids that come through. And so having an exhibit there that is something that goes back to your own childhood, that's fun, gives you a great memory to see people doing it, it does give me some exposure because my picture of my dog is on mm-hmm. there. So it's just a win-win situation all around. So I really, really do enjoy having exhibits at the Children's Museum, and I like to see the joy that they bring.
The Children's Museum is out and about all over our area. Make sure you, if you're in the Quincy area, come out June 6th to Tales and Trails at John Wood from 5 to 7:30. They've got all kinds of other activities that are going on then, too. Look for them at the local library near you, and just to check them out at their location. You can come by. They have special times for really small kids. They have times for the more preteen crowd. Everyone can enjoy the Quincy Children's Museum. Visit them on Facebook or stop by their location at 115 North 4th. Always wonderful to see you, Amy. Tracy, thank you for coming by today. I can't wait to see how the hummingbird helps Poppy get back home. Then we'll go out and read that all together at John Wood, not this Friday, but one Friday from this week. That's all we have time for today on the Mary Griffith Show. Thank you for joining me today. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow.